Welcome to the Radio Free Palmer sports scene. I am Tim Rocky, and we are taking a break from sports for the second week in a row, kind of. I have here in the studio with me the man, the myth, the legend, the greatest fantasy football commissioner in the land, Mr. John Budnick. How you doing, John?
I'm doing excellent. Thanks for having me.
So, football season is over, so my communication with John has kind of slowed a little bit, but he does have an album out. So, John, tell me a little bit about your relationship with music, how you came to be in a band putting out an album here in Palmer, Alaska. What were your beginnings in music?
It goes back far for me. I'm 28 years old now, but I first got interested in playing music when I was 13. I remember the day that I was in middle school. My good buddy Marty and Eric, they invited me to a little jam session after school in the band room there at Palmer Junior Middle School. You know, my friend Marty, he pulls out this Squire Stratocaster, plugs it in, has a distortion pedal. Eric jumps on the drums, and they just start wailing on, you know, just an E chord. And I was just there watching. I was absolutely floored. My father was always a guitar player in the house. And so that night after that jam session at the middle school, you know, I told my dad about what happened. And I told him, I think I want to learn how to play guitar. I want to sound like that. Not but like a couple of days later, I remember my dad, he gets home from work and he calls me out to the car and, you know, he says he needs help with something, you know, and he pops open the trunk and he's got a Squire Stratocaster for me and my own amplifier, which I still have both of those today, and I still play them.
When was the first time you stood in front of a crowd, plugged in, and played live?
Senior award night, junior year. That was, I would say, the first real time I got up in front of the crowd. Again, it was with a band. It was with Marty and Eric and my good friend Sam at the time. The school administration didn't want us to play because we were all juniors. So we made that senior our token tambourine player, you know, because we had a senior in the band, and then we got to play it. It wasn't even our night, but it went really well. It was an awesome experience. That was the first time I got in front of a crowd and played.
What's the feeling like of standing up on stage in front of fans and knowing that you're going to get to, you know, rock their faces off?
It's pure adrenaline. You know, I tell people all the time that, you know, some people have to jump out of airplanes or go bungee jumping to feel the way I feel getting up in front of a group of people. It's nerve-wracking, the anticipation, knowing that you're about to do it. People say all the time they'd rather die instead of having to get up and give a speech, you know, but I love it. You know, it's an adrenaline rush. It's exciting, and that nervousness, that anticipation, the adrenaline, it melts away the minute that I start singing. And then I'm in the zone, I'm in a flow, and I'm in the moment, and it's kind of like, not to get too far out there, but it's kind of transcending a little bit. Nothing else matters in that moment but completing the song and doing it your best.
Talk to me more about your beginnings in music. Who was on John Budnick's iPod Classic?
Yeah, you know, I think I went through all the phases that most teenagers go through. You know, they discover Nirvana and they're telling their parents, oh, you gotta listen to this band called Nirvana, and they're like, yeah, I was growing up when Nirvana was hot, you know? I went through all those phases. So Nirvana, you know, got me through like sophomore year of high school. I mentioned Modest Mouse, that was junior and senior year. I later discovered Wilco, who's still one of my favorite bands to this day. I'm a big Jeff Tweedy fan. Back then, kind of relied on also what my parents listened to. I grew up on having Lawrence Welk on the television every Saturday night, reruns of Lawrence Welk. You know, these people that were, you know, singing and playing 40 years ago and reminiscing about the Lawrence Welk show. But yeah, you know, I go through all the typical phases most teenagers go through. Classic rock, Led Zeppelin, all those guys. Let me take you by the hand. I take your mind to a fantasy land. She said, look, I ain't that kind of girl. Oh, you ain't taking me for no world. Well, you ain't take a lot to sway. And you ain't got nothing until you've heard. listening to Radio Free Palmer 89.5.
Talk to me about the difference between stepping in front of a microphone on stage and stepping in front of a microphone in a studio.
Yeah, it is obviously different. The difference is that, you know, when you're playing on stage in front of people, you don't get do-overs. You don't get retakes. In the studio, you get as many as you want. Yeah, it's still fun, though. And it's really an opportunity to dig deep into the song. I learned a lot about my songs in the studio, and a lot of that had to do with the people that I work with. In particular, Chad Rainband, who runs Wattage Studios out of his home. He's got such a phenomenal ear for music, and I sought him out for that reason. He's got his own bands and stuff in the Anchorage music scene. And I knew I wanted to work with him because of his style. You know, his fingerprints are all over the album with his production notes. But just musicians I play music with in general, you know, my philosophy is to, you know, when I write a song, kind of lay down a foundation that others can put their own spin on it. But yeah, it's definitely different from playing on stage. It's a mix of collaboration, to somebody being on the hot seat and everybody's watching, and, you know, you don't want to mess up because you got eyes on you. It's still fun, and, you know, I'm already thinking about the second one.
How did you come across the guys that are in John Budnick's band?
Yeah, I met them at an open mic. I've been going to this open mic up the hill on the Palmer-Wasilla Highway at Schwabenhof. Cody O'Meary, primarily on drums, but he does play lap steel. Bryce McDaniel on lead guitar. Steve Thomas on bass. And occasionally Grisha Stewart on backup vocals. That's where I met him, and, you know, music is bond, so you figure out real quick that you click musically, and then that just forms like an instant friendship.
What's the process that you have when you write a song?
A song, the genesis of it can be anything from a real intense emotion that I'm feeling that's, you know, I can get out in 45 minutes. The song Alone, which is the last track on my album, was very much like that. The first line of it is, it's 4 a.m. on a Sunday morning. Well, it was 4 a.m. on a Sunday morning when I wrote that song. It's very honest. Other times, it can be just like a phrase pops up in my head, paint you a picture. The third track on the album was like that. Not feeling too great about my marriage at the time, and just thinking about it, I was like, what am I trying to do here? I'm trying to paint you a picture. And then it was like that phrase like was like stuck to the wall of my in my brain. And then I wrote the rest of that song. So it varies, you know. But it's all based on life experience, you know, things that are happening to me in the moment or have happened. I can't say that there's one right way to do it or one set way to do it. It's different for every songwriter. What I love about songwriting is that it's each one is an adventure.
So was transformation something that happened to you all of a sudden, or was it something that gradually you just collected a bunch of songs that you ended up putting down and then went into a studio. And how long do you think it took you to crank that out in the studio?
I've been collecting songs for a while now. Some of the songs on the album I've had for 4 or 5 years. Other songs, the song Penelope I actually wrote in between recording sessions on the album. All in all, not including writing time, because that can be very subjective time, 6 to 8 months is a very accurate number. So this album, we were able to record it in 4 days, so 2 weekends, 8 hours each day.
What's the vibe like with your group in the studio trying to produce your final product, and then how does that differ from when you guys are live on stage?
Because I funded the project, I knew that I did not want to go into the studio unprepared. I did not want to go into the studio beyond studio time without having practiced the songs that I knew we were going to record. We recorded in chunks of 6 songs and 5 songs amongst those 2 weekends I mentioned. So weeks prior to the recording dates, we were practicing at least once a week, sometimes 2 or 3 times a week. And that was just because we really wanted to get these songs down tight, because we knew that once we were in the studio, we were on the clock. Time is money, as they say, right? When we're in there, it is a lot of fun. I've recently learned about myself that I'm an accommodating harmonizer, so it kind of fits back to what I was saying, that I don't want to micromanage people. I want people to be able to put themselves behind their work. So I'm not barking orders in there by any means. And if it's not fun, it's not worth doing is the bottom line. It is work. You're exhausted at the end of the day, but the 8 hours go so quick because you're having fun while you're doing it. It's a tremendous feeling listening to these songs come alive. I don't have any kids, but it's certainly like I can only imagine it might be probably not as heavy, but, you know, along the same lines of, you know, a child being born, you know, seeing something come to life and putting your soul into the art.
What's the message of the album? What's the thesis for Transformations?
That's a great question, and something that I'm still, I think, trying to determine. By all means, this is a first album. This is a first album for the John Budnick Band. There's a reason why it's called Transformations. I was going through a big transformation in my life at the time of recording, in particular ending a romantic relationship. It's not a collection of breakup songs. It's not a breakup album by any means, but I am inspired by love. I know the music industry has covered that one extensively, and now here I am adding my own 2 cents. As the artist, I really get a kick out of people that listen to it and enjoy it, what they get out of it. You know, every song has some sort of inspiration behind it. I'm not very quick to divulge that because I want to hear what people, what it means, what my art means to them.
I wouldn't describe it as garage rock, I wouldn't describe it as alt rock, and I wouldn't describe it as folk, but it's kind of, I mean, it doesn't surprise me at all that you guys came together at Schwabenhop, yeah. Is what I get when I listen to your album. How would you describe the music you play? Again, what kind of band is the John Budnick Band?
What kind of band is the John Budnick Band? You know, I can tell you what kind of music I listen to and the artists that influence me, that I take to my music, but that doesn't even really do it justice. You know, it's rock, is how I've been describing it to people.
So what's the next step? You said you're already thinking about number two. What would you do differently? What can we expect to hear from the John Budnick Band in the future?
First off is I got to keep living. You know, that's what it's all about. It's about getting out there, experiencing things like love that a lot of my songs touch upon. It's about, you know, going through breakups and divorces. It's about having a child born. It's about new relationships in your life or whatever. Whatever inspires you. I mean, you know, one of my favorite quotes from Willie Nelson in one of his songs, I forget the title of it, but it's, you can't make a record if you ain't got nothing to say. You know, that's very true. It's very true. You can't make a record unless you got something to say. What to expect in the future from us? You know, I'm not afraid to change. I'm not afraid to step away from the distortion on the guitars. I'd love to pursue other avenues musically. Cody O'Meary is an excellent lap steel player, and I'd love to hear more of that, possibly on the next album. But, you know, also respecting the roots of where I come from. I think Transformations really set some good solid roots for the John Budnick Band to grow and get better at making records and get better at playing live and just continue to gel. She's a wild thing.
What's your favorite football team?
Well, of course, I know you know. It's the Dallas Cowboys.
How about them Cowboys?
Right? Right? And that's pretty, you know, you got me in the studio admitting that on air to listeners. It's a tough one to admit sometimes because you either love the Cowboys or you hate them.
Do you love Tony Romo or do you love Tony Romo?
I am a Tony Romo apologist, and I will be for the rest of my life. He is one of the most underrated quarterbacks in the NFL. And, you know, he's got the stat sheet to prove it. And, you know, with Dak Prescott, it was kind of like a, okay, let's see where this goes. Okay, he's driving the bus a little bit. Okay, you know, it was a slow growth into, okay, this is the guy. You know, it wasn't until about week 8, week 9 of the NFL season that I was like, you can't bench him. He's too good. The chemistry is outstanding on this team because of him. You can just tell when you watch the team that guy's like playing for him, which is outstanding for, what is he, 20, 21 years old, and the leadership skills that he has. I am more worried about Prescott in his sophomore year than I am in, you know, than I was when he was just filling in for Tony there.
How'd you get into fantasy football in the first place?
First time I ever played fantasy football was high school, middle school or high school. I can't quite remember. It was my dad's work league. My dad doesn't know anything about football. What he does pay attention to is the Cowboys, and that's mostly just to see what, you know, the mental health of his sons are for that Sunday. If they lost, he knows that we're probably not in the greatest of moods, you know. But one day he came home and asked me to run his fantasy football team that his work buddies were a part of, and you know, I totally tanked. I did the rookie mistake of drafting all Cowboys, right? You gotta diversify.
Do you think there's an appeal that is brought to football by kind of the nerd aspect of being able to crunch numbers and put out a better fantasy team than somebody else?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I think the analogy I've heard is that it's just Dungeons and Dragons for jocks. I think that's pretty true. You know, we all geek out about something, you know. Pick your poison, whatever it might be. And, you know, for me, fantasy football is one of them.
So who's your number one pick going to be this year in fantasy football?
Depends on what league I'm playing in. I will admit, I got two leagues, all right? I got the league that I commissioned that you're in. I do have a work league. I'm probably showing too many of my poker cards here, but it's all about the scoring system in each league. So in my league that I'm commissioning, it's going to be a quarterback, because quarterbacks are your point getters. Take your top five, any of them.
You're not taking Zeke Elliott, number one overall pick?
Not in my league, but in my work league, yeah, I am taking Zeke Elliott, because running backs are your point getters. For whatever reason, in that work league, our running backs get a point for even just an attempt, which I think is completely wrong. It's preposterous, right? But for whatever reason, that's how those guys like to play it. And I'm taking a running back in that league, number one. In my league, I'm taking a quarterback.
Fantasy football brings random friends together to talk trash on the internet. How do you think fantasy football has changed watching the game of football for you?
Yeah, for me, it's I pay attention because I'm a diehard Cowboys fan. Before I was a fantasy football player, it was just the Cowboys. Anything else I didn't really care about. Until I started playing fantasy football, I started paying attention to all the teams, all the players, and so it has broadened my interest in the game. I've heard and read articles that, you know, the NFL doesn't like fantasy football because it dilutes the fan base a little bit, but I think the complete opposite. It's actually broadened my knowledge of the players on other teams, whereas opposed, like, before, I wouldn't have cared. You're listening to Radio Free Palmer, 89.5 FM, Big Cabbage Radio.
I was thinking to myself just the other day, what it would take for my courage to lead the way.
Where is the John Budnick Band going to be playing live in the near future?
And that's one of my lessons learned with the release of this album, is that I didn't quite give myself enough time between releasing it and booking a good solid album release show. April is pretty wide open for me. So if anybody listening is looking for a band for a house concert or for their venue, they can contact me through my website, johnbud.com. I have a contact form in there that goes directly to my email. In the summertime, it starts to pick up for me. I'm going to help the Jerry Wessling Band on May 5th. I'm playing solo for their album release. That will be at Settlers Bay. And then later in the month, on Memorial Day weekend, I'll be at Trapper Creek Bluegrass Festival. And that's with the full band. June, I've got a house concert, so we are available for house concerts. There's another festival out in Houston. There's a few things down the road. I know I will be playing at the Palmer Ale House in August. My short-term goal is to make it on Salmon Fest. Fingers crossed that I get picked to play that. To stay on top of where I'm going to be at, I would encourage listeners that are interested in my music, like my page on Facebook.
You know, not to start any fights or anything, but where might be your favorite place that you've played live music so far?
Including open mics or not?
Sure, why not?
Schwabenhof, I'm usually there every Wednesday during the open mic, and that's it's fun because it's also an opportunity to play with other musicians and also hear new and other musicians play. Play a lot with Justin McCain, who's an excellent and fun, very fun songwriter. Recently, I've been playing at Taproot, seems, past 3 or 4 months. But yeah, you know, Schwabenhof is really taking the cake, and a lot of that, so much about the venue and the beer as much as it is about the community that's up there.
Where do you hope the John Budnick Band goes? You know, near future, far future? What do you want to say to the listeners? If you've got anything on your mind that I haven't covered yet?
Short-term goal is to make Salmon Fest and play the biggest music festival here in Alaska. Long-term goal would be to open for an incoming national act. Very passionate and driven about my music, but there's just that small element of, let's just see where this takes me, you know, that drives me and continues to push me forward and try to reach people with my music and touch them and whatnot. And what I want to say to my listeners is thank you for supporting local live music. That's extremely important. You know, if it wasn't for, people that want to go out and listen to live music, you know, I really, it's very humbling when somebody comes up to me after I play an open mic or play a show and tell me they really dig my music. That's a very humbling experience. It only drives me to continue to do it. So just a lot of gratitude.
Thank you so much, John, for coming in the studio and hanging out with me.
If you would like to hear more music from the John Budnick Band, they can be found on iTunes, Amazon, and Spotify.
You're listening to Radio Free Palmer Sports Scene. Me, Tim Rocky, and John Budnick on 89.5 FM.
Maybe I'm a whole of alone. Every time you say I love you, rub salt into my wound.